Ah, yes, yes, yes. It is a Friday morning. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we're coming to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage? That's the difference. Rocky Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Connor in for Mike this morning. Pete with across the way as well. He's at the controls. Bogish with your updates. Good morning, Taz. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, Moose. Same old thing, just another happy Friday. Look, we got a special guest later on, current NFL
player. Your guy.
My guy, Benny Snell.
Yeah, there's no, right. I was thinking about this. There's nobody in sports talk radio on the national landscape that has been a bigger proponent of Benny Snell than you. And today he joins us.
It's amazing.
I feel like I should just walk out of the room. You take care of the interview.
We just chat it up, me and Benny.
You take care of the interview. I'll go get myself a cup of coffee, and we'll call it a morning.
No, and you know, I think most people would think that, oh, wait, maybe Taz booked this guest. No, Taz did not. Mikey B did. And unbeknownst to you and me, you know, because that's how normally guests are booked. You know, that's the producer's job, right?
Yeah.
So when we saw Benny Snell, we're like, wow, Benny Snell, what the heck? But yeah, he's playing good right now for the Steelers.
Playing great.
You know, he's doing a good job.
And you loved him going into the draft.
I did. I loved him out of college.
A lot of credit. Yeah. You loved him. We talked a lot about it right around April's NFL draft.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of, you know, injuries present opportunity. And he has taken advantage of that opportunity in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. When he came
well.
Out,
ran the ball
sure
well.
Is. And I remember seeing him, you know, playing with Kentucky. And I'm like, wow, this guy's really good. And, you know, he's getting a little love, but he wasn't getting enough love, in my opinion. But, you know, now he's you know, he's doing the heavy lifting right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers, running the rock. So he's doing a good job.
And he's going to join us in the end of the second hour. So right around 7:40 this morning, Benny Snell will join Taz and myself. And it'll be a good conversation for a Pittsburgh team that, I'll be honest with you, I mean, we've talked about it. I think you mentioned it to Del Rio yesterday when we had Jack on in terms of the job that Mike Tomlin has done this year.
Yes,
the fact
that
they are 7-5, Taz, going into week 14. We'll get into the Thursday night game here. In a bit, the fact that that Steeler team is 7-5 with everything. I mean, losing Roethlisberger, the elbow injury week two, you know, the other rash of injuries that they've had. You know, I kind of scoffed at the idea of not Minka Fitzpatrick the player, but trading a first round pick because at the time that they acquired him from the Miami Dolphins, it looked like the Steelers were going to have a top five draft choice. And I said, well, you're going to give up a top five pick for you know, a safety at that stage. And here we look at that Steeler team. They're a 7-5 team. They might not all be pretty wins, but they're wins nonetheless.
And you're correct. And now they have another winnable game coming up this Sunday against the Cards. So, you know, the Cards are sitting at 3-8-1, the Cardinals. And you know, so I know they're on the road, the Steelers, but still, I mean, they're a more talented team than that Cardinals. So they could win that game and
they
can be 8-5, you know.
Yeah, he's done a remarkable job. Tomlin's done a great
no
job.
Doubt, no
he
doubt.
Really has. Speaking of bad coaching, how about Garrett? And how about the Cowboys last night? Who I couldn't, I feel bad. Number one, let me just, I do feel bad, and I forget the caller's name yesterday that called up and asked for the fantasy advice.
Well.
And I was like, yeah, you can't stream Drew Brees. And all of a sudden, Mitchell Trubisky last night, or Mitch Trubisky, whatever you want to, whatever he's doing now with his first name. He's throwing touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. I think he accounted, the caller asked, will he go over two? He accounted for four in the course of the game last night. I felt bad. I mean,
we both agreed that he wouldn't go over two. That's what it was. So
did.
Two touchdowns.
Correct.
You and I. Yeah,
we said a couple touchdowns.
Right,
didn't think he'd get to three or get to four. And there he was throwing for 244 yards, throwing for three touchdowns and running for another. And I feel bad. Hopefully that caller and the Taz of the Moose fan is able to advance in his fantasy playoffs or make it to the playoffs because I was watching the game last night. I felt terrible.
Well, here's the thing, okay? That caller's name is Darius.
Yeah.
Okay? And the reason why I know is because he tweeted me, like 8 hours ago. And I guess I'm your messenger, Moose. I don't know why he didn't tag you, but he tweeted me. He said, tell Moose I'm calling back in the morning. If he gets another touchdown, this is during the game, you know. And then he tweets me again. He goes, I got to call back in the morning. Tell Moose that I made a good decision on starting Trubisky.
Oh, he did start
there
him.
You go.
Oh, there
and
you
taking
go.
The over.
There you
taking
go.
The over on those touchdowns. Ha ha.
There you go.
Hashtag go Bears.
Oh, there you go.
This is what we do here. We just have fun with everyone. Everyone's happy. It's all about love here.
Well, I mean, now I'm happy. You just made my morning.
Oh, I know. I know.
You really did. You just made my morning because I felt terrible watching that game last night.
Why? But you really did. I thought you were joking around that you felt terrible.
No,
like
I felt bad. Because you work all season long. Someone's calling you up for advice and you give them advice and it's terrible advice. I felt bad. I forgot Darius's name.
Darius.
But yeah, Darius's name. That's what I said.
Darius, right.
Yeah, that's what I said. But right, I did feel bad watching that game and watching Trubisky doing what he did. So good for him, the big Bear fan that Darius is, that he did start Trubisky and who accounted for 4 scores last night as the Bears knocked off the Cowboys 31-24. And, the Cowboys trailing at that game at one point in time, 17-7, 24-7, 24-14, 31-14. They end up losing that game and, Maher, once again, we talked about the place kicker a couple days ago. Bring in guys and the differentiation between what Garrett was saying and what Jerry Jones was saying. Maher has had a terrible year this year. I mean, he might be one of the worst kickers in the National Football League. Missed a big kick, down 7, I think down at 10-7 at the time. That would have tied the game up at 10. And think about this. I mean, he makes that kick. All of a sudden, that's a 31-24 game. Cowboys have ball in hand, under a minute to go, and they're driving down into Bears territory instead of settling for the field goal late to make it a 31-24 game with about 12 seconds to go in regulation to attempt the onside kick. I mean, that is a different game. But put that aside, the Bears were the better football team, and Trubisky was great last night. And certainly the Cowboys now fall under 500 at 6-7.
Yeah, and, it's just crazy, man. Because, as far as this game goes, if you look at the score, if you didn't watch any of the game, you're thinking, 31-24, the Bears beat the Cowboys. Must have been a good game. No. Not that it was a bad game, but no, it was never really close. I mean, to the points you just made, the game was never close because the Cowboys put the bulk of their points up in the fourth quarter late. So, no, it wasn't close. They were getting beat up on the Cowboys right away. The Cowboys put 7 up right away in the first quarter, but then the Bears got their sea legs under them in that seventh in the second quarter. And put up 17 points. And Trubisky, like you were just saying, and we were just talking about, he looked great. His efficiency was excellent. He only had one interception, which the D-back, his name escapes me, for the Cowboys, made some play right by the goal line on that catch. That catch was unbelievable. And initially, it was a challenge, remember? They thought he was out of bounds, and then you saw he dragged the foot. What a catch he made. I don't remember his name.
He went to Michigan. Lewis. Was it a Lewis?
I think it was Lewis, yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of Michigan, I was thinking of Michigan, watched this whole game because of the Bears' helmets. They had that, the Stripe Jones, the old school
fullback. Second time they've worn them this year.
I love that. We talked about it before.
I thought the Bears' unis looked pretty sharp last night.
Yeah, I
did like them.
The helmets are cool.
Yeah, the helmets were cool. I like the jersey as well. I thought they looked pretty sharp. And
Jordan Lewis.
There you go. Name. Yes, Jordan Lewis, and he did go to Michigan. So, from a Cowboy perspective, the Bears are now 7-6. Trubisky played very, very well, accounted for those 4 touchdowns, aside from that one interception they threw on the Bears' opening drive and being down 7-0 after the Cowboys went down the football field early. I thought Prescott was terrible last night. You're going to look at his stats and say, he threw for 324 yards and a touchdown. You watch it in the complexion of that game, and as Taz mentioned, a lot of the points that were put up by Dallas were in that fourth quarter when it was a margin football game and the Bears were playing with a decided lead. I thought Trubisky, in the context of that game, he was missing receivers that were open. He had terrible throws, holding on to the football way too long. I thought that Dak Prescott in that game last night for the Dallas Cowboys was downright terrible.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. He was 27-49. Listen, when we had Jack Del Rio on yesterday, he was talking about that with the Cowboys. Run the ball. I mean, I'm obviously paraphrasing what he said, but he was saying basically run the ball more. And look, Elliott ran the ball about 19, 20 times, whatever it was. He didn't have 100 yards, had a couple of touchdowns. But I think a steady diet of running to really set that tone throughout the game would have been a better way to go about it for the Cowboys. They got to figure that out, man. They got to figure out what's going on. They got talent. the Cowboys, and they're not winning. It's weird because, as you know, they're in the division, they're in first place. But what are they, like under 500 right now, and they're in first place? I mean, because the division's sneaky, but the Eagles are on their tails, or on their heels and their
tails
right now.
The Eagles are taking on the Giants on Monday night with the return of Eli Manning for Big Blue, with Daniel Jones suffering that high ankle sprain last week in their loss against the Green Bay Packers, Taz. And you're right. I mean, I thought they ran the ball. Efficiently enough. I mean, I didn't think they were going to use Ezekiel Elliott, 25, 30 times last night.
I just think he's got to get over 100 yards a game, and you got to run him close to, you got to run him more. You got to, because he's durable. He's unbelievably talented. The O-line's not as great as it used to be, but I just think you really keep that defense breathing heavy, and that's a good defense.
No, that's fair, but let me ask you this. Don't you think it's the context of the game as well? It's hard to run the football when you're down 24-7.
Great point. That's true. And you're right.
Right? You want to say in the first half, you want to say in that first quarter, I thought they were featuring the run, had a number of third down conversions on that opening drive when it was 7-0, on the drive in which Maher missed a field goal that would have made it a 10-10 game at that stage. I didn't think it was just all pass, but I also think if you open up and just look at the box score, if you didn't watch the game last night, you're going to say, Elliott needs more than 19 carries last night for 81 yards and two touchdowns. But I think it's also difficult when you're down 24-7 going into the fourth. It's difficult to go and say we're still going to feature the run.
I don't disagree with you. But the thing, and then this, the thing is, if you can get, if you could start, if you have a running back like Elliott and a good offensive line like they have and tight ends that could block, and you set the tone and you're going to keep your time possession is going to be more because you're running earlier, right out of the box. That's all. It's simple football. It's easy to say sitting in a studio here talking in the morning. But, if you can do that and really establish that run from jump and keep on running the ball, there's a good chance you're not going to go behind a couple touchdowns that quick.
No,
you're going to have possessions.
No, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. And you look
but
at
I
the
get what you're saying, too.
Yeah, and your offensive line and an offensive line that you're heavily invested in, Taz. The other thing is, I thought the Bears played a game like a desperate football team. And I think the Cowboys' effort last night, which was surprising, because the last time we saw them was on Thanksgiving. They're rolling a week out later and playing on a Thursday night against the Chicago Bears. They got, after an initial lead against the Buffalo Bills, the rest of the game they were downright dominated by Buffalo on Turkey Day. And last night after the initial lead, it was very kind of similar to what you saw against the Buffalo Bills, aside from the garbage touchdowns late to kind of make it look like a closer game than it really was. I thought their effort was pathetic. I thought defensively they had little to no. Rod Marinelli made no adjustment as the game went along. How many times did you see the false start? I mean, the offside penalties.
Totally undisciplined.
Totally undisciplined over the course of the game. They didn't look like a team that was playing for their head coach and Jason Garrett, did they?
No, and I thought they were going to. No, you're right.
I agree because with you. That's what we both said yesterday.
We did, and those freaking mental errors will torture a football team left and right, as you know. And you can't do that on a road against a good team, a strong defense like Chicago, with a rabid fan base in the cold like Chicago. You can't make those mistakes and those mental errors of going off sides and whatnot and false starts or whatever. But, the stuff you're saying is true, like what they did with the Bills, too, starting off hot and then not sustaining. I got to be honest, I'm not on the sideline, you're not on the sideline, we're not in the huddle, okay? But on game day, forget practice, I, as a former athlete, I'm just telling you, most of the time, that comes from player leadership in huddle, on sideline. That's not coaching. I got to be honest. I mean, you can't, I'm not saying you, but people, I think it's tough to blame any coach in any sport if they don't have guys stepping up as leaders. And I don't know if that's a fact or not, if Dallas doesn't have guys on game day after the first quarter happens. So once they're down a touchdown or 10 points, is someone stepping up and talking to the guys as far as a guy who's wearing a helmet in the game, a player?
That's fair.
I don't know if that's happening. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't
weird.
Know.
Because they're not, to your point, they're not sustaining throughout the game.
Yeah, do you think that falls – so I don't want to put words in your mouth, Taz. You think that falls more on the leaders on the team or the staff when you're seeing undisciplined play?
Leaders, I feel.
No,
I don't mean undisciplined. That's what I'm saying. That's on the player when you're undisciplined. No, what I'm talking about is when your team is not – when you can't – if you're starting off hot, that means the game plan going into that, which is the coach's job, The coaches set the tone the right way.
Okay.
And now you set the table right. You're scoring right away. Your game plan is pretty good. Now, we understand, right? The other team's going to make adjustments throughout the game. Everybody's making adjustments. We know that. That's coaching. I get that. But I do think once it's just like a boxer. You got a guy on the ropes, and you're about to knock him out, and you're hurting him. You know, your corner's talking you up to keep peppering the guy.
I see what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying. Players got to pepper each other and talk each other up.
Right. And
I don't know if that's happening.
No, that's a good point. I mean, the one guy who would say Bennett, right?
Yeah.
You would say, because he was the one that was screaming at the team after the Bills game, and he's a guy that they brought in from the Patriots, and he was let go by the Patriots, who were, you know, parted ways with New England because he didn't like his role up there in Foxborough. But a guy who was, you know, with the Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks. It was Michael Bennett that was one play on a third and short that he's jumping offside.
Jumping offside,
Allowing the Bears to convert. A drive in which resulted in the Bears' last touchdown of that first half that made it 17-7 at the half. I mean, if you're going to – I'll tell you this, Taz. If you're going to go scream at your teammates after the game on Thanksgiving against the Buffalo Bills and talk about lackluster play, you can't be that undisciplined if you're Michael Bennett. Does it reek of a team that's trying to do too much? Maybe we have to go individually instead of guys, you know, the whole mantra, do your job, right? Patriots say, here, coaches, that vernacular all the time. And those
that's
clichés.
Every team, as you know.
Right, you know what I mean. Yeah, I know. Coaching cliche of do what we're asking you to do. Well, maybe there are guys on that team that are trying to do too much. And there is something to be said to that because, Taz, as you know, you play Division II football. You try and do too much, and you don't play within the scheme offensively or defensively, but specifically defensively, you can leave your teammates out to dry, and you can make it very, very easy for the opposing offense.
Absolutely. No, I think what's happening with these guys. And look, they have leaders that can step up and get on each other and get on the guys and get and hold people accountable, hold themselves accountable. Hey, let's keep the pressure on them. The first quarter or whatever, we just scored first. Let's keep rolling. You got guys like Jason Witten on the offensive side, big-time veteran, had a lot of success, been with the team forever. Guys like Sean Lee, the excellent linebacker, who's got 9-10-year veteran.
Yeah.
You got veteran players there that can, you know, that should. And I mean, I'm not saying these guys are not stepping up. I don't want to sit here and say they're not doing that. I don't know how much they're doing it because at the end of the day, players play, as the cliche goes. You got to play. You can't make mistakes. But you do need leadership. And when you're on the field, when you're in a huddle, right after a play, that has nothing to do with coaches. That's what I'm saying. I just don't put that on the coaches. I know you're not. I'm just saying.
I think it's a good point.
I think it's important to bring it up.
Well, then you look at the leadership of that team. But speaking of the coach, as we've discussed a lot about Jason Garrett, right, with the comments by Jerry Jones and then Troy Aikman on a Dallas radio station, here's the Cowboys owner out in Chicago, outside the Cowboys locker room, talking about whether or not there will be a coaching change here moving forward for Dallas.
We're going to line them up here next week. We're going to go practice, and we're going to try to win a football game. And everybody that's in here that's healthy, and everybody that's healthy that's coaching will be coaching. Everybody that's in here that will be playing, and we just got to play better.
Well, there you have it. So,
I mean, really, does he even have to say any of that? Because, like, what he said is really nothing.
No, he didn't say it.
So why? But he loves the mic. He loves the camera.
But people love going to him.
But he should just avoid it.
That's fair.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but let me ask. Do you think that's his personality?
No way, sir.
We're all overpaid.
He loves the... I mean, you want to talk about a guy... We talked about the other day. He's basically Al Davis.
He wants
the attention.
He's Al Davis without the big success.
Right. He wants the focus.
Right, you're right.
He does no wrong.
Oh.
It's on everybody else. You know, he's a billionaire. He's the owner of the Cowboys, and he enjoys being what he's at, and he enjoys, when people stick a microphone in his face giving a quote.
He loves
two handfuls full of Jello.
Yeah. I mean, here's Jason Garrett talking about why his team struggled last night in Chicago.
One of the issues we have on our team is guys are trying to do too much. And I think sometimes that creates problems, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And we have to just get back into... being more disciplined down in and down out. That's the way you handle adversity.
People just love ripping on Garrett. As we're playing that cut, Bilotti throws in my headset. Maybe
I heard him.
He does too little.
I know, I heard him.
I mean, can he give Garrett a little
Everyone
just rips him.
He's like a pinata.
Geez.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
The only safe haven for him is home.
Maybe.
His wife might be yelling at him.
Right. When he walks to the gas station and he's pumping his own gas, they're critical of the way he's pumping his gas.
Overpay.
Guy goes home.
I mean, yeah, right. Like,
why are you not winning more, Jason?
Yeah, exactly.
You need to win more.
I know. I mean, there's no... Yeah.
Poor guy.
I feel bad for him.
You should get him on. Connor, try and get him on in the next segment.
Yeah, right.
Garrett, all right. Work on that, bro.
Text him.
Text him, Jason.
The Cowboys reportedly have been in contact with a coach and have had a conversation, maybe two, with a coach. Who is that coach? We'll explain. We'll tell you next. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. The CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Taz, before we get to Bogus here.
Yes.
We're talking about...
I feel like you can ask if you borrow money or something.
No. That would have been the time right there.
The way you started it, right?
You're right about that. You're right.
I was thinking more like, let me tell you something bad about Bogus while he's sitting here.
Before we talk to Andrew.
Yeah.
Right. You spot me $20.
What a schmuck he is.
Right. Let me throw Bogus under the bus.
Yeah.
And so then you can rip on him. And
what Bogus said about you, Taz?
Yeah. That's funny.
You almost did it to me yesterday, Moose. You thought about it.
Actually,
doing me dirty.
No, I did. You're right about that. I was like, hold on. For anyone that doesn't know, you guys are like, whoa! Don't name names. I'm like, I'm not going to name names. To the point where I walked in.
You seemed like you were going to name names.
That syllable was already out of your mouth.
I walked into the control room and Besegi goes, what are you talking about?
It's okay. I told everybody yesterday you should just come to me.
Oh, my God.
Well, I know. You're like the rooster.
Well, it's because everybody need. I'm the connecting point.
That's called the rat.
No. Not in this instance.
Right. In the wrestling business, it's called a stooge, believe it or not.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Not good to be a stooge.
Yeah, whatever.
So we were talking about like how Aikman hinted upon in his interview in Dallas, right? About how difficult that job is, that the Cowboys' dysfunction starts with the top and critical of Jerry Jones and the like, right? And we talked about how difficult that job is if you're an NFL head coach. And we speculate in terms of what guys would, you know, Nick, you threw out the idea of, okay, maybe a Nick Saban, right? Or something like that. And how Saban would not want that kind of an opportunity or so on and so forth.
I did throw out the name you're going to say, you know.
I don't remember. You throw, but the name that you know, the Cowboys have interest in is Urban Meyer.
I know. Well, I threw it out like, I didn't throw it out like I think they would go after him. I threw it out like, when you and I started talking and you and I got into a conversation about men that wouldn't, like, that are a little bit longer in the tooth as successful either college or NFL coaches, that wouldn't deal with Jerry Jones' nonsense.
Okay.
That's how I threw Urban Meyer out there.
Okay, no, I give you credit.
So I am surprised, though, because I don't picture him dealing with that.
Well,
you know?
But it is the Cowboys.
I know, but we heard, and also, being that we're talking about this, Jack Del Rio, when we brought up to Jack yesterday, he brought up a good point, though. He said, "Yeah, no, you got to deal with that. You got to be ready for that, or whatever." But he brought up a different point that no one has brought up about the one positive. If you're a coach under Jerry Jones, he spends money.
He does.
You know, we've talked about it, but to hear a guy like Del Rio, a coach, talk about that, you know, so that's the resources.
He spends on players,
right.
And gives you the resources to be successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you might need to jump through some hurdles, but reportedly the Cowboys have interest in Urban Meyer. And I guess Stephen Jones has had a conversation reportedly with Urban Meyer. Now,
man, oof.
That would be something else if you are Urban Meyer, because there's not a lot of guys that have done it. You know, Jimmy Johnson did it.
Yeah,
right. Nick Saban failed.
Right, the Dolphins.
Right, Pete Carroll's done it.
greatly.
Yeah. Right, greatly. There's not a lot of
except
guys.
Except for the Jets, but that was well, after USC.
Correct, after USC.
Well, the Jets were before UFC, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Right. The USC came after after the Jet disaster. Yeah. Right. And the Patriot disaster again before. Right.
So, true, I forgot about that.
If Urban Meyer was to go to Dallas, for argument's sake, and win, and say win a Super Bowl, think about that. Winning championships in Florida, right? All the success he had at Ohio State.
Utah, too. Don't forget Utah.
Don't forget Utah as well.
A lot of people forget what he did at Utah.
You're right about that, before his days at Florida.
Yeah.
And then if he were ever to go to Dallas and win a Super Bowl there with the Dallas Cowboys.
Dude.
And here's the other thing, Taz. There's no recruiting. You're not on your phone 24/7.
Right.
You're not calling 17 and 18-year-old kids, pleading with them to join your program. You're not hopping on a flight to go travel across the country. There, you take that grind out of it.
You're right. I'm just laughing because my son got a call last night. But that's
no. But
you're right about the coaches when they call. Yeah.
When you're right.
I'm laughing.
Your son lives it.
He's still living it.
And he's still living it.
Again, he regrouped now.
Isn't he 30 by now?
No,
how old is this kid?
He's 20, but I get your point. No, but
my point have a medical degree at some point.
like it would make like we were kind of everyone was pinpointing and maybe Urban Meyer is working for Fox now and maybe Urban Meyer then would go and coach USC or coach another college program. You know, you talk about the grind and being burnt out. I'll tell you, there's a grind to be an NFL head coach during the course of the year, but there is a break.
Yeah. Well, break, if you're Urban Meyer, you go to the Cowboys, you don't have to worry about dealing with the media. The owner does that.
Yeah. Well that's it. Well, that's. And yeah, exactly right. Right, you know what I mean? But you don't have to deal with the grind of being a college
coach. Of the recruiting
coach.
And stuff, right. The recruiting of donors, you know, money people, of the AD, of the NCAA nightmare, all that, you know?
Right.
You know? It's a great
point. Well, think about this. Greg Schiano, who just got the Rutgers job,
he's going to take the Natty Championship in 2 years.
Right. That's it. But he wants a new football facility. That's going to cost well over $100 million.
Okay, wait, don't Rutgers have something a little kind of newer already?
They do have the Hale Center. Yeah, it's a football facility, but he wants one that's
he
like
kind of. Wants better than that.
Correct.
Wow.
Right.
Jeez. How about win a game, coach?
But here's the thing.
He has.
Part of his deal is he has to raise half the money before that
there
building.
There you go. Yeah.
So if that building costs $110 million, he has to raise $55 million.
So, and what happens with that, because I've been on the other end as a parent. That's just so people understand this, and you guys have young kids, so maybe you'll go through if your kids are athletes. You get emails now. You get peppered with emails from, in that case, the football office of the school that your kid goes to, okay? These beautiful, nice, happy emails from the coaches, from the coach and his secretary or assistant, basically asking you in a 4-paragraph email for money.
Yeah.
They give you a link that you could just click.
All right. Makes it easy.
Oh, yeah. They make it real easy.
Put your credit card in.
Yeah, here's a suggested donation.
Right.
Here's the
you want to make it a monthly donation?
But you can do that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But here's the thing. All kidding aside now, here's the thing. It's the most passive-aggressive, stressful thing as a mom or dad you can imagine because the coach is asking for money, and your kid is on that roster. Unless your kid is a junior or senior that's a star on a team, if your kid's a freshman, sophomore, either trying to get some playing time or just a freshman, and the freshman parents get those emails all the time, it's passive aggressive.
Oh, no doubt.
You see what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because you feel like if you don't give money, it's going to be used against your kid.
I know a school, a D1 college lacrosse program, that puts the donor on the website and how much they gave.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not going to name the school. It's a big D1. My son didn't go there, I'm just saying.
No, but that's ridiculous.
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
You know, the Jones family gave $20,000. I'm not kidding, dude.
That's ridiculous.
Unless you know Little Jones, he's playing nonstop.
Right.
And he's not even that good.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
But, dude, I'm letting you know, like, it's like that passive-aggressive thing. Now, you know, I'm just saying, those emails
are
brutal.
But let me ask you this. I mean, don't you look at it as well, though? You're right in terms of the pressure on the parent. But also, you're looking for help if your kid's on is a junior or senior, for a building that they're never going to see.
Well, that's true. You're right about that. Yeah.
I mean, that building's going to take five. You know,
there's a good chance the sophomores aren't going to see it.
Yeah, the sophomores. Right. Yeah. That building's going to take 3-4 years to build.
That's a good point.
Once they start doing it, they're never going to see it.
No, you're
never going to. It's going to be some kid that's 13 or 14 years of age now that's going to benefit from your donation.
You know, as soon as Schiano got that that credo from the he contacted the two brothers, the twin brothers up with the Patriots.
The McCourties.
The McCourties. I can't remember their name.
Right.
Yeah, you know, hey, guys. Got a few bucks.
I'm sure. Right, Daron Harmon.
Yeah, yeah,
anybody that's ever played in the NFL that played for him, right?
That was a good player.
Right.
And those two dudes up and
hitting up
the
Bill
Patriots.
Belichick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, your son played lacrosse here? Hey, yeah, exactly. You love football. We love lacrosse. You know, that guy, he's working the whole area now.
I think Ray Lucas's wife needs to make more empanadas.
That's
start
it.
Selling
oh,
those
empanada.
Bad boys.
She makes empanadas, huh?
Yeah.
I told you that.
Brings them to the press box.
You I got so much going on.
I know you got a lot going on.
But remember Ray Lucas, who doesn't like me, what his wife makes for the
no,
crew.
No, I thought you remember it because you took
he
a shot.
He does not like me.
Well, no, he likes you.
No, he
but
does.
No, he does like you. I referenced the empanadas. You're like, I don't know how many empanadas you should be eating. Like, thanks,
but that also led to remember the empanadas that got brought here and then to your cart of empanadas. That's this all in a straight line.
Oh, my new venture.
Yeah. Three for $21.
Yeah.
Right. $21.
Price
right.
to move.
Right. That's
a deal. I have a deal for you.
Right. To raise them right.
That's
and
my
like,
new
who's
business
buying
venture,
a $21 empanada.
Well, they're technically $7 per
right.
empanada.
$3. Three for $21.
And, yeah. You know, exactly. Like, you're putting tuna, sushi in there, tuna grade. But no, what
but
do you call
you
it?
Don't have, if you go to the NFL, if you're Urban Meyer, there's no pressure to recruit. You don't have to raise money. You don't have to kiss babies and shake hands and go meet with donors and have breakfast and lunch and do this. You don't have to do all that.
Yeah.
Just coach football.
Just on this, on the out, just thinking about, I don't know what you guys think about. Not even delving into it, it sounds like it could be a good fit. I could picture him, Urban Meyer, coaching the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, I really could. Lincoln Riley, too, I could. But Urban Meyer, I think, he's older. You know, he's older. I don't know why I could picture Lincoln Meyer. I think we said yes, because of the Oklahoma thing and it's right in the debt. But I got to tell you, Urban Meyer, Dallas Cowboys, on the surface, sounds like a good fit.
You don't think Nick Saban bailing on the Dolphins right away? I get all the positives of being a football, an NFL coach, but does Urban Meyer then, does his shtick work with men where it worked with teenagers and 21-year-olds?
Well, it's a great question.
30-year-old NFL player with his stuff?
Well, that's the great question of the great college coach. Can they communicate with
but
with
I have
paid
the
millionaires?
Answer. That's the beauty of this show. The great questions, and now I have the great answers.
Mm. Yes, what's the answer?
This is how this works. See, Urban Meyer, you know, I understand what you're saying about Saban, but when Saban, I don't know the age, but he was a little bit younger. When he coached the Dolphins, you know, like Saban, I'm sorry, Urban Meyer's got to be, what, 50?
I think he's 53.
53.
Somewhere in the mid-50s.
So the bulk of these NFL current stars, you know, he was coaching them or coaching against them when they were stars playing Division I football.
So they know him.
That's my point. Some of them either they know him because...
That's a good point.
That's all I'm saying. I think with Saban, it was a little different when he came from LSU when
LSU.
He did that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't a baby then, though, either.
Connor, maybe you can check it out. I don't know how old he was.
I feel like that was the 2003 Dolphins. Was
not
it that long ago?
Baby,
yeah, I think
though.
It probably was.
But, no, but Andrew, what I'm saying
it was before,
is...
before, remember Drew Brees and Culpepper in free agency.
Right.
They went with Culpepper.
You know, and Bobby Petrino hated the NFL, too. It's a completely different thing.
He was 54.
Yeah, there
Nick
you
Saban.
Go.
Okay, so to your point. Okay, so then
he
my
was 54 and he was the Dolphins coach.
Are you sure? Yeah. Really?
Which means he's
what is he,
well
90?
Over 60 right now. Really?
Yeah. No, say yeah. Well,
he looks
dies,
great.
Yeah, he dyes his hair.
He's 68.
Yeah,
he's got some spunk.
Yeah, I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah,
good for him.
Saban's up there.
Well, then my point means nothing.
Well,
I don't have the answers.
I would put it this way. I do think Meyer is not going to be stepping over a guy that passes out from heat exhaustion like Nick Saban did. I think
Nick
Meyer
was having a bad day that day. That's why he did
but
that.
Talked about leadership, and you know, you can never, if you're a real leader, you never show that anything could throw you off or whatever.
Someone flops, you step over them.
Yeah, right. That
Next.
Whole nonsense. Right. Exactly.
Move the drill.
move the body. Omaha. <Yeah. laughs>
We're doing nutcrackers.
Right.
Get him out of the way.
Right, exactly. No, we're doing the Oklahoma drill.
Yeah, Oklahoma drill.
Taz, I would say this. I do get a feel that Meyer's got a little bit more of a personal touch than Saban does.
I think you're right.
And I could be wrong just based on who you chat with, based on people I've talked to and all. I don't know Urban Meyer from a hole in the wall, but and just based on interviews, I just get an idea that he's got a little bit more of kind of a human,
people skills and
yeah, a little bit more than Saban.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't know, man. I feel like if you're comparing like to Andrew, what Andrew's saying about when Saban went to the Dolphins, and again, none of us realized he was in his early 50s when he went there, but I do think that Urban Meyer will do a better job now with the Cowboys than Saban did with the Dolphins. I don't remember who the heck he had. Did he have the resources on that Dolphins team? Like, who was his top guy? Do you remember, Moose, like, with the Dolphins then? I don't even know who was, like...
2000. They made the cataclysmic mistake. The mistake they made was they decided not to sign Drew Brees.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. See, I don't think Jerry Jones is making that mistake. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
right.
He gives you the resources.
Remember, Brees had that shoulder injury.
Right.
And they decided, and Drew Brees ended up with New Orleans, and Drew Brees is going to be all
history, as they say, yeah.
Exactly right. So, I mean, that was the mistake they had. No, I mean, he never had the quarterback. He never had that guy down there in Miami. So, be interesting. I mean, and it's just kind of rumors, but it's interesting if Meyer makes that kind of a leap to the NFL.
I totally agree. I mean,
if I were an NFL team, I'd be interested. He can coach.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, he definitely can coach. Joey Harrington was his coach. Remember Joey Harrington from Oregon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was his coach with the Dolphins in 2000.
His quarterback.
His quarterback in 2006 for Saban, who went 6-10. And he had Ronnie Brown at running back. I'm going to some memory. He had, he had, who do you have here? He had Marty Booker at receiver. Chris Chambers was a good receiver.
Did he have Cadillac Williams there? Is Ronnie Brown?
I remember Cadillac Williams. I don't know if he was there then. I don't see him on this roster.
I'm sorry. Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams with the dreads from who went to the Saints.
Who went to Texas?
Saints.
Because Ronnie Brown and Ricky weren't they on the Dolphins at one point in time together?
I think they were. No, you know what he played. What's his name played for the Dolphins? Ricky Williams played for the Dolphins when what's his name was the head coach? Who came in with the Dolphins? Who's the big name coach who came with the Saints? Not the Saints, the Dolphins. Oh. Jeez, I'm drawing a blank.
Dave Wanstead?
No, Jimmy Johnson. Oh. Didn't he play for Jimmy Johnson? Ricky Williams? I think we're all over the place here.
We're going back 15 years, 10 years.
I mean,
no, Jimmy Johnson was with. No, Jimmy Johnson orchestrated the ouster of Dan Marino.
So that was. Okay, that was before, obviously, Ricky Williams.
Yeah, Ricky Williams was with the Dolphins in 05.
Well, on this roster here I'm looking at, Nick Saban, 6-10, 2006, there was no Ricky Williams.
No. Sammy Morris was the other.
Oh, Sammy Morris.
Sammy Morris. But
Cleo Lemon played a game of quarterback in that season.
Well, he had a good receiver in Chris Chambers. Yeah,
Wes Welker.
Him. Wes Welker.
Before he was Wes Welker.
That's right.
No, actually had 67 catches that year.
Well, and the defense was not really loaded with stars on this thing, you know, with Keith Traylor. He had Zach Thomas, who was a hell of a linebacker, middle linebacker. I'm just saying, I'm just bringing this up because of the resources that Saban had back then, you know, but I think you're right, Moose. People skills, too.
Well, right, and like we mentioned, the big thing, maybe that changes all, if they decide to sign Drew Brees instead of...
It changes everything. We're going to do it.
Here we go. Bogus, take it away, buddy.
Thanks, guys. The Dallas Cowboys will always have that first drive last night in Chicago.
Cobb, Gallup, and Cooper split out to the left. Second and goal from the two. Hand the ball off Elliott up the middle and into the end zone for a Cowboys touchdown.
Our good friend Jerry Recco on Compass Media Networks last night.
That was Jerry Recco?
That was Jerry Recco.
Can I hear that again? I wasn't really paying attention.
Cobb, Gallup, and Cooper split out to the left. Second and goal from the two. Hand the ball off Elliott up the middle and into the end zone for a Cowboys touchdown.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Good for Jerry.
Good for Jerry.
He's not Mikey B, but good job.
No, he's not Mikey B, but who is?
I had no idea he was going to be in Chicago for that game.
He kept it a secret. It was a big...
I love secrets.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was a big thing. I know you don't like me mentioning their names, but it was a big thing this week on Boomer and Geo. He says he told him about it a couple weeks ago, then didn't bring it back up again. They say they were never aware of it, and then he dropped it in their laps this week that he was doing the game.
Oh, that's good radio content. I can run weeks with that.
That's gold.
Gold, yeah. When a guy's kind of withholding info, or he's double dipping, like Jerry Recco. No, I'm kidding. That's great. That's great that he did that, though. He did a great job. I mean, he should have probably told the show more. He should have promoted it more. We didn't know. We're friends with Jerry.
We see him every morning. He even mentioned
Jerry.
See Jerry all the time.
Yeah, I knew about
it. You sit diagonal from him.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
Jerry Recco. the conversation goes like this. Jerry, Taz, what's up?
It is loud, too.
That's it. Especially how it goes.
The LETD run.
That's not wrong.
That's basically every morning.
That is basically
it. Absolutely.
That was from a game
that's
opening.
That's not just with Reco. That's basically everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Then everyone just stares at their computer.
That's it, and we're done.
Yeah.
It's early, you know. Yes. What were you saying, Andrew?
It was a game opening. 17 plays, 70-yard drive for that touchdown. It took nearly 9 minutes. The Cowboys didn't score again until the fourth quarter. Eventually losing 31-24 to the Bears, who are now 4-1 since a four-game skid. They're 7-6 overall. The Cowboys go to 6-7, but still in first place by a half game over the Eagles in the NFC East. College football tonight is the Pac-12 championship game in Santa Clara, Utah, and Oregon, with the Utes trying to keep themselves in position for a playoff spot. And in the NBA last night, the Rockets won in Toronto, 119-109.
Bilotti played
a mundane 23
like the
points.
Academy Awards.
I mean,
Bilotti's playing them off. We got to go to break.
You don't have to go to break.
Bilotti's sweating.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Andrew.
Bilotti just played them off.
Wow.
Congratulations on being an award winner.
That was unbelievable.
I've never heard nothing guy get played off by the board op.
He never would have done that if Mikey B was here.
No.
Andrew, don't take that.
Taz, Boos, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we're back. It's Friday.
Yes.
It's Taz and Moose. Yeah, we got Benny Snow coming up a little bit, Moose. We're looking forward to that Pittsburgh Steelers running back. He'll be up here in a little while. We can talk a lot about what the heck's going on with Urban Meyer. Is there a chance he could be the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys down the road here? We'll see what happens with that. Let's go out to Jersey. Talk to our friend John.
He is John. He is John. He is John from Jersey.
Hey there, Hoss.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. How are you?
Hey, John. Happy Friday.
What's going on?
I mean, hasn't this been a great week, though? I mean, you got Shiano's back at Rutgers.
Look, John just goes. He just rolls.
Nothing
throws him off. Say again, what's that, bro, about Rutgers?
Hasn't this been a great week, though? We got Shiano is back at Rutgers. Right?
Yeah.
We got the Wilpons are out.
Oh, yeah. I love that. We got Stephen A. Cohen's going to own a team, and I'm going to work for him along with Pipilotti.
Yeah.
There you go. And now we got to top it off with a big Pats win on Sunday. If we could beat the Chiefs.
That's not happening.
John.
Let's relax.
Hold on a second, John.
Exactly. Hang on.
Hey, number one is, and maybe you do beat the Chiefs on Sunday, but John shot me a text after the loss to the Texans, Taz.
Oh, they stink.
And said, my team stinks.
Oh,
now all of a sudden they're beating the Chiefs.
They're beating everybody. Now all of a sudden they stink now. They stink now
right.
All of a sudden?
That's
crazy.
When I'm walking out of Houston on Sunday night after traveling halfway around the country for 3 days and I'm getting waxed on Sunday night, my first thought was they stink. But as any fan, time heals all and it's Friday. We're ready to go.
That's
the patch.
You're right. That's how fandom is, though. You're right about that.
That's right.
I hope you guys get crushed by KC.
Ugh.
I really do.
How many points are you going to score?
I'm looking Pats 23-20.
Oh, 23-20. Because
I don't think if the game goes in the high 20s or 30s, we're not going to win because I don't think we could score that many.
Right. No, I don't think so either.
And what are they? -3 to the what do you call it? The
Patriots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that I would partake in betting.
No, I know you wouldn't.
No, you never
can. You're just friends with Mark Belusis. Yeah. Why would you do that?
I'm friends with, we all gamble?
Yes.
What do you think? On Friday nights, so I'm running craps games out of my basement?
Good chance.
Right. Jackson, go grab the.
You're going to the local VFW, and you're doing it over there. You rent it out for a day for $40.
No, it's the Sons of Italy.
Right. You're doing it over there.
Although I am playing bingo tomorrow. So
hold on a second. You said bingo?
Yes.
Bingo, yes.
You're getting played off, too. Everyone's getting played off by Bilotti.
John, we got to go.
Take care, John.
We're out of time.
We're getting played off, too.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Pete loves John.
Pete's grabbed complete command of the show.
He's had it.
It's Taz and the Moose.
The Pipilotti Show.
A little Odell Beckham Jr. will throw his latest comments into the mix. That's next. CBS Sports Radio.